Glory to God. We're still in this place where the Lord is talking to us about kingdom on display and kingdom on demand. And this place of kingdom on demand, not in a sense that we make demands of God, but we put a demand upon what God has already released. Right. We can place a demand on the anointing. Yes. We can place a demand on the glory. And the funny thing about on demand, thank you guys, is that it's just like the example Holy Spirit gave Apostle when he first started sharing it was, he said it was like a movie. You know, we all have that concept of on demand. And last week I was traveling and there's this particular movie that I wanted to watch on the airplane. It was like a 5-hour flight. And so I downloaded onto my phone a movie that I could watch on demand. And I watched it and it was good. It was a good movie. But the next day, I connected with my relatives, and my family hadn't seen that movie. And so what did I do? I accessed it, and we watched it on demand. Now, the second time I watched it, it was exactly the same way, or there was the same result as the first time I watched it. Now, I'm using that to give an example because when you, James, can you give me just a little more? When you access the kingdom of God and the glory realm of God, you can do it on demand. And every time you access it, you should be able to get the same result. It doesn't change because you accessed it again. You guys see what I'm saying? Every time I watched that movie, and I watched it twice, 2 days in a row. And truth be told, I saw it once at the movie theater. But no, Val, we saw it twice at the movie theater. Each time I accessed it, the movie was the exact same. So when we're talking about on demand, we're talking about accessing the kingdom of God and the glory realm of God and everything that pertains to it. And we get those, God, it produces the same result every single time. And when we're talking about display, we're talking about something being out in the open to be seen. The scripture says, if the gospel be hid, it is hid from those who are lost. Meaning that if we do not display the kingdom of God or display what the kingdom is like, the only people who won't see it are those who are lost. Because remember, the scripture says once we are born again, we can see the kingdom. So it is essential that we display the kingdom of God, that we access what is available to us on demand and display what we have accessed so those who are not yet in the kingdom can have a point of contact with the kingdom and then come into the kingdom. In Matthew 28, let's look at this, verse 19. It's Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah, thank God. I'm glad about that because I wouldn't want nobody else in charge but Jesus. I'm just saying. And then he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded. That word commanded is the words that he has given us, but also everything he has taught us, everything he has revealed to us. We teach them to observe all that he has commanded us. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now he says, go and make disciples. In this season of harvest, I'm telling you, don't say my harvest is coming. Say my harvest is here and I'm smack dab in the middle of it. When I was on last week, I was, you know, when I go on vacation, I don't vacation from God. I'm going to just say it like that. So I still maintain my discipline of getting up and spending some time with the Lord. And then I go to the pool and do what I'm going to do. And so while I was spending time with God last week, one of the things he said to me was, there was this thought that came to me and I was like, I'll be glad when. And I was sitting there thinking about all the things that God has spoken about me, about heirs. And I was like, I'll be glad when. And then Holy Spirit checked me right then. He was like, don't say, I'll be glad when. He said, say, I'm glad that I'm in. And I was like, ooh, that's so good. Because I was sitting there thinking, God, I'll be glad when all of these things happen for my business. And then I shifted. God, I am so glad that I am in the middle of building a billion-dollar business. I didn't say, God, I'll be glad when, you know, this full-time thing, you know, the income comes in abundance. I was like, I am glad I am in the middle of abundance coming to me. And it keeps coming to me. So I started to shift and not place my hope into a deferment. I put my hope into the now, even with the things that I am believing for. And so in this making disciples, we have to recognize that that's what God has called us. So we are in the middle of a harvest of souls and a harvest of finances. It is simultaneous. Remember when it seemed like God is keep continuing the conversation. Remember, I told you the money conversation didn't stop, even though I'm not focused on money today. But remember when God had me share before about the breaking out, and you say we're breaking out to the right and to the left in this simultaneous area, saying we're giving birth in this birthing season. Now, this thing that we are birthing is the dream and the vision that God has given us. And that vision that God has given us makes disciples. And the finances are for one, for us to enjoy and live a lifestyle of the kingdom to make people wonder, wow, what are you doing that I need to do to get where you are? But then also the abundance comes so we can use it to establish systems and places and fund them to make disciples. See, the harvest financially, and Pastor Deborah said this, is connected to the harvest of souls. Too many people have looked for one or the other, but it's simultaneous. Now, let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, because we're going to take a little journey. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, from the New American Standard, it says this. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, I just want to pause right there for a second and just give you one more thing about disciples. As we think about a harvest of souls, we need to think harvest of disciples. Because if we lead people to accept Christ and come into the kingdom, that's good, but that's not the commission. The commission is to make disciples, meaning help them become students of God. The word disciple means student. So we are to help them become a student of the things of God, of the ways of God, and a student of Holy Spirit, because he's our teacher. We make disciples. So this says God is light. What is God? Now, God's makeup and nature is one of light. It's brilliance. And it says in him, there is no darkness at all. Now, so we are created in the image of God and after his likeness. That's what it said in Genesis chapter 1, right? And so we are designed to look, act, and think like God. That's how we are designed. That's the original design. That's how Adam was designed, to act, look, and think like God. But then when Adam fell, mankind maintained God's image but lost the likeness. Folks were still looking like God in terms of how we look outwardly, but the likeness, meaning the attributes of behaving like him, was lost. But when Jesus came, he corrected that, right? In John 8 and 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus came and corrected the fact that we no longer had the likeness of God. And now in Christ, we have the likeness of God. So now we can stand up and say that there is good in me, there is light in me, and there is no darkness at all. Now, before Christ, we could say there was nothing good in us. But in Christ, we don't have to say that now. And in fact, if we said there was nothing good in us in Christ, we would be lying. Because we've been made new. He said anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. Meaning that our spirits were supernaturally recreated after God's likeness. It was restored to the likeness of God. Now, the reason why I'm hammering this is because of what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Let's look at that. Because the scripture says that God is light. Then Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, many people have stopped right there. You know, there's even a song that says Jesus is the light of the world. And we want to point Jesus to the light. I mean, point people to Jesus, point people to the light. That's good in a sense, but it's not the complete mission. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. What's that first word right there? You. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So a lot of folks have been hiding. They've been hiding what God has placed on the inside of them. And I'm going to tell you, like God told me to tell some people 2 weeks ago, stop hiding. Some people have said, well, no, I'm not that gifted. I'm not that anointing. Yes, you are. And stop it. Because God is light. We're made in his likeness and in his image. Jesus is light, is the light of the world. And then Jesus said, we are the light of the world. So there's an expectation that God has for us to be the light. Not to talk about the light, but be the light. He says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our light shines before people in such a way that people see our works and glorify God, not just our actions, but the works. When Jesus talked about works, he talked about supernatural demonstrations. So people will see us operating in the power of God and glorify our Father because we are allowing what is in us to be released and to shine. Now, I'm going to just tell you, I don't know why this thing just came to my head, but I'm going to just say it. Rihanna told some of y'all to shine bright like a diamond, so you need to just go on and listen to that prophetic word. As the light of the world, we are given responsibility of releasing the glory of God in the places we are sent. Now, remember, the glory of God refers to his character, his nature, his presence, his prosperity, and his power. Some people focus on one aspect of the glory of his character and his presence, but it's his prosperity and his power. I want all of the glory of God to be manifested in me and through me. Let's look at Genesis 1. Because sometimes where God sends us to release the glory is a place that is dark, because he's not going to put light in another light spot. Light is sent to darkness in order to transform that place from darkness into light. You may be sent into a dark place in order to bring the light and the glory of God to transform the people and the place. Because wherever light is, darkness has to flee. It is not, and I know we talk a lot about spiritual warfare, but I'm going to tell you, it's an easy fight when you're the winner. Jesus already won. We're executing the victory that he's already given. You don't have to be afraid to step into a dark place, because you are the light. Because he lives in you and you live in him. See, a lot of times people are afraid to say stuff because they think they're going to be canceled. Oh, God, YouTube is going to take my video down. Facebook is going to take my video down. They're going to block me. You can't block the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll find another platform to get on. And the thought, and if being on a social media platform is more important than the message of God, somebody needs to check their priority. Because just like God allowed, you know, those folks to create those platforms, he can give somebody else a knowledge of a witty invention to create another one for you to be on. Hallelujah. Now, look at Genesis 1 and 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know in between verse 1 and verse 2, some drama happens. It was quick. Satan got kicked out of heaven real quick. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. And then verse 2, now we see the result of his fall, of Satan's fall. It says, the earth was formless and void. Not, he didn't destroy it. By his anger, he destroyed it by how hard he fell, in my imagination. Because when it says, I saw him fall like lightning, it reminds me of this boxing match that I saw last Saturday where dude got hit and he was like, woo, boom. And then a ref caught it before he even hit the mat all the way, because he saw how hard he got hit. He was like, oh, fight's over. He got hit so hard, it was over. Jesus said, I watched. Jesus was like, I didn't even have to get involved in that one. I just watched. So he fell, and it says, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Now we see darkness, right? And the Spirit of God was moving. So in this dark place, it says, and the Spirit of God was doing what? Moving. People are talking about how dark it is right now, wondering if, you know, there are a lot of people talking about Jesus coming soon. I do believe Jesus is coming, but I also believe Jesus is not coming on a rescue mission. Jesus is not coming to evacuate us. This is not an evacuation. He's coming as a king. And when you are thinking about battle times, when the king arrived, the battle had already been won and the culture had already been subdued. And he just came to say, look, here I am. I'm in charge now. You follow me. So when Jesus does come, he's coming for that glorious church that is operating in power. not to rapture us up to get us out of here because it's so bad. Because people trying to project, and I say project, shortages and energy crisis and mandating vaccines for kids and CRT in schools and all of this other stuff. God, Jesus ain't coming to deal with that. He is sending us to deal with that. Because when he come, he's just coming to let the dead in Christ rise. And we all going to meet him in the air. So God is, even though we see all of this stuff going on, God is still moving. But don't get distracted by the foolishness that's on the news. Now, verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So Holy Spirit was moving. Then God, the Father, spoke something into that darkness. And what did he speak? He said, light be, is what the literal translation said. And so light is and was and has been and will continue to be because he never told it to stop. That's why science keeps finding different universes and different planets and all of that, because things are still going. But notice he spoke it into the darkness. Now, God is light, right? And now, where did he speak that light from? From what was on the inside of him, he released it. Now, we are light. And when we go into dark places, what are we supposed to do? Speak something and release what's on the inside of us. Because God places Holy Spirit in us. He places his glory and power on us and then assigns us to the people and places where we are supposed to release that glory and that power to them. And he puts us in those dark places on assignment to change the makeup of that place. So some people will say, man, my job is crazy. Well, first of all, don't say that. But then, yeah, if it is that way right now, you can do something about it. One, you can begin to decree something different. Then two, you can do whatever God said to display the kingdom. Now, a lot of people have gotten stuck right here. Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 4. Because this is where a lot of people have gotten stuck. A lot of people have thought about the harvest of souls. And I say we need to shift that to harvest of disciples. But they've thought about it in terms of, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. People want to tell people about Jesus. I want to talk about Christ. I want to share Christ, which is good. But let's focus on the assignment for this season. John chapter 1, verse 4. It says, now this was talking about Jesus. You know, in him was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. You know, so John is describing this revelation about Jesus being the Word. But in verse 4, it says this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Some translations say overpower it. No matter what dark place God assigns you to, you cannot be overpowered. And you might as well say, I will not be overpowered. And then look at what it says. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is the guy that we've come to know as John the Baptist. And it says he came as a witness. A lot of people say, oh, I'm going to go out and witness, right? To testify about the light so that all might believe through him. Now, this is where the body of Christ has been for years. We've gone out to witness, to testify about the light so people can believe through him. And I'm going to tell you, that was John's assignment. That is not ours. John came as a witness. You know, witnesses tell you what they have seen and what they heard. We are sent as ambassadors. There's a big difference. Ambassadors demonstrate and represent. not talk about. John's assignment is over. We are in the season of the ambassador. Say, I'm an ambassador. And so as we think about this harvest of disciples that God has called us to bring in, we are doing it as ambassadors. We are demonstrating the kingdom of God. It is on display and we are accessing it on demand to produce the works and the results that God has called us to produce. So instead of talking about Jesus, we are designed to act like Jesus, imitate Jesus, do the miracles that Jesus did and greater. But some folks have been stopped talking about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me witness so you can come to Christ. Well, I'm going to witness so you can come to Christ after I lay hands on you and watch you recover. After I cast the demon out. Hallelujah. So God has shifted us. Say, I've been shifted to demonstrating the kingdom of God. This is kingdom on demand and kingdom on display. Now let's look at this. Luke chapter 6. Let's get this real quick. Luke chapter 6, verse 17. I want to point something out to you. Because I'm going to share briefly about the lady with the issue of blood. And we all know that incident. We know, and we've taught on it. We talk about how she had to operate in faith and how she decreed a thing. She acted on it, on what she believed, that she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was immediately, instantly made whole. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Even though there was a crowd of people touching him, but her faith caused her to make contact in a different way. We've taught on that. But now let's look at it from the standpoint of kingdom on display and kingdom on demand. Because a lot of times we look at that and we think we put ourselves in that woman's position and say, if I can just touch Jesus, which is true. But what about you being the one being touched? What if somebody just says, if I could just touch Kelvin? Or what if somebody just says, I could just touch Nina? Or if I could just even let Arnez's shadow follow, come over me when she walks down the hallway of that school. Let's shift that. But I want to show you something before we dig deeper into that. In Luke chapter 6, verse 17, it says, and then Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. And there was a large crowd of his disciples. And a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. So we see a great multitude of people. We see disciples, right? Verse 18, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. They came to hear and to experience the kingdom that was being demonstrated. They came with an expectation that the kingdom will be on display, and they placed a demand on the power of God that Jesus was operating in, right? Look at verse 19. It says, and all the people who were trying to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. People were trying to touch them because power was coming from him. They were placing a demand on it, right? Now let's look at Mark 5. Now, the reason why I wanted to read that first is because this happened before the lady with the issue of blood happened. Because if we were reading it in Luke, we would have went from Luke 6 to Luke 8. But we're going to read it in Mark 5 because it gives a little more detail. So we know people were touching Jesus and getting healed. They came with the expectation of receiving healing. What if people came with the expectation to your house? Like, look, you know, I'm gonna go over Mother Napier's house because she got some good fried chicken and she cooking today. But before we eat, she's gonna hug me and I'm gonna be healed. Because we are ambassadors, we represent the kingdom of God. So in Mark 5, 25, and I'm reading this from the Passion Translation. After Jesus returned from across the lake, and that was where he had just casted out the legion of demons out of a dude. A huge crowd of people quickly gathered around him on the shoreline. Hallelujah. And it says, just then a man saw that it was Jesus, and so he pushed through the crowd and threw himself down at his feet. His name was Jairus, a Jewish official who was in charge of the synagogue. He pleaded with Jesus, saying over and over, please come with me. My little daughter's at the point of death. She's only 12 years old. Now look at his expectation, how he placed the demand. Come and lay your hands on her and heal her and she will live. He didn't say, come pray and we'll believe God. He said, come and when you lay your hands, she'll be healed and she will live. So Jairus didn't know how to have access to the power of the kingdom, but he knew Jesus could access it on demand. So he went to the dude who had the access. Isn't it like people coming to you because they know that you will give them wisdom when you listen to them, or they know that you can get a prayer through, or they know that you would demonstrate the power of God? There's no difference. Because people are going to be drawn to you even more in this season as you purpose to be an ambassador demonstrating the kingdom, not just a witness. Now, it says, verse 24, immediately Jesus went with them and a huge crowd followed, pressing in on them from all sides. Now, they're doing the same thing that they were doing before. It says, now in the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. Now, modern medicine would call that a hemorrhage. And modern medicine would say a hemorrhage, some causes of it is a blood clotting disorder. Or it could have been cancer or complications from another medical procedure, damage to an internal organ. It could have been a hereditary disorder. It could have been a virus that attacked the blood vessels. That's what science and medicine says hemorrhages come from now. But you know, back then, those doctors didn't know that. Isn't it like Jesus he supersedes time. And even though there are viruses that our culture is dealing with, that they're trying to figure out what's going on, God already knows the root cause of it and has the power to heal it. And even though, and God knows and has the power, but guess what? He knows and he's given us the power. So regardless of what strand of virus it is, the power of God is present in our lives to heal it. We don't have to know what it is. And so it says that she had, in verse 26, she had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors. Yet in spite of spending all she had on their treatments, she was getting worse instead of better. So she was following the process of the physicians. She was following the prescription of the doctors. And it said that it didn't get better. It got worse. Sometimes what happens, and you know, when because there are signs all over here, all over the city that says in science, there is hope. And when I see that, I think, no, in Jesus, there is hope. Because even though God is the God of science and he's the God of scientists, they're still sometimes trying to figure it out. But God doesn't have to figure out anything. God doesn't have to discover. He doesn't have to do trial and error. He doesn't have to do any of that because he's God. And because he's God, what happened was, when it says when she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through and came behind him and touched his prayer shawl, because she kept saying, if I could touch even his clothes, I'll be healed. Now, what happened with that is that the power of God was on display in such a way in Jesus' life that if she just touched his clothes, that whatever it was, she would be healed. Not a symptom, but the root. Now imagine you being that person, because you're that an ambassador for Christ. You are the one walking and operating in the power of God. And there are people today who are dealing with viruses and sicknesses and going through medical procedures, believing God for healing, but they just sometimes need to get in contact with you. Can they get in contact with you, and can the power of God flow through you and cause them to be healed immediately? Because Jesus knew, he felt the power. It says this in verse 30. He says he felt the power that always surged around him had passed through him for someone to be healed. the power of God is always surging around you. You don't have to drum up the power of God. You don't have to, there isn't a specific note, a chord that activates the power of God. The power of God is always activated in your life because you are living with Holy Spirit. The greater one is on the inside of you. Say, the greater one lives in me. The greater one is in you, and so the power of God is always active because the Holy Spirit is always ready to release that power. All you have to do is recognize it, that you are the light. You are the instrument for people to access the power of God. And when people come into your presence, it's like coming into the presence of Jesus, because you are with Jesus and Jesus is with you. And the same things that happen when people come into the presence of Jesus is what happens when they come into the presence of you with Jesus. Do you believe that? My time is up. I'm going to stop right there. Hallelujah. 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 You're on assignment. You're not assigned to be a witness. You're assigned to be an ambassador. The power of God is in your life. And like Kelvin was praying, don't back up. Don't back up. Don't get scared. I mean, I don't know if he saw the movie, but they said, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Light overpowers darkness. And the scripture says, you are that light. So you can lay hands and watch them recover. And if you want to be real smooth about it, you lay hands and you don't even have to watch them recover. You can just keep it strolling. Because know they're going to recover. Because your job is not the recovery part. It's the lay hands part. But you're an ambassador. You're an ambassador. You have been assigned to demonstrate the power and the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.